call the police. No, wait, hold on, hold on. I'll pay the damage, right? Actually, you know, forget it, call the cops. No, wait, don't, I'll pay.
Welcome to the Anglophiles, a podcast where two Americans obsess over British TV shows. I'm Danny.
I'm Sheldon.
And we are Anglophiles.
And I am going to have the hardest time not doing this whole episode in an accent.
It's true. There are a couple of characters with great accents and misfits that really get inside your head. But before we start with our topic, let's talk about this week a little bit. So one thing, Game of Thrones is starting soon.
Yeah, Game of Thrones comes back a month from, by the time you're listening to this, it's yesterday or days ago. But like, yeah, basically Game of Thrones is a month from now.
Yeah.
That's insane. So I'm so excited.
So we should probably do a Game of Thrones episode.
Yeah, we absolutely should. I mean, I've been rewatching the show. You've been catching a lot of the episodes with me.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, like, some of the earlier episodes I really haven't seen in a couple years now, so.
And I really think in this season of Game of Thrones, we'll see them return to a lot of the themes of the first season. Like, the trailers seem to be hinting at a lot of the first season narratives are coming back. Gotcha. And I'm kind of excited about that.
Cool. Well, yeah, we're going to get a Game of Thrones episode started, so.
Yeah, so if you guys have any questions about Game of Thrones you want to send in, or if you have, like, fun tidbits, any trivia about it, send it our way. We'd love to discuss it on the show.
Yeah, you can contact us on Instagram. We are the Anglophiles Podcast, or Anglophiles Podcast.
We also have a Facebook group, but our Instagram's, it's up and roaring.
Speaking of Facebook group, another thing. From this past week.
Uh-huh.
I am a big fan of the podcast My Favorite Murder.
Well, free advertising.
I've been a big fan for years now. And I recently discovered there was a My Favorite Murder / the IT Crowd crossover group.
Which I do not understand.
It's weird that that's a thing. Like, it,
yes,
it's absolutely
it is.
Weird, but I'm really big into the My Favorite Murder Office group.
It's weird to me that fans of a podcast have dozens of different spin-off Facebook groups for fans of wildly different things that have nothing to do with a murder podcast.
It's really amazing, though, but it's like when you find people that are into the same things you're into, and then you define those things even more, you know that everything that people post in that group is going to be something you want to see. So it's really interesting. Like, it's really good content. And then you also kind of know, like, if these people like this podcast and they also like one of your favorite shows, you kind of feel like, these are people I can trust. I know it sounds weird.
I guess so.
But anyway, I joined a My Favorite Murder / IT Crowd Facebook group. It is great. I did give a little shout out to our podcast when I joined. I said, hey,
good
thanks
move.
For approving me. You guys may be interested in our podcast. So,
well,
and
did
I got
you link the IT Crowd episode?
I didn't, but I told them, I said our very first episode was IT Crowd.
There we go. There we
yeah,
go.
I didn't want to get in there and seem too like, I'm here to promote myself.
I've got a sales pitch.
Yeah, so I didn't really link it. I should have, but I just wanted to come off not too strong. So, but we did get a couple comments. There were some girls in there that said, I'm checking it out. So,
yeah, so if you're new listeners from my favorite podcast. My favorite podcast. My favorite murder. You can stop listening to My Favorite Murder now. You have a new favorite podcast.
You know what? They're both good. They're both good podcasts.
Yeah. One talks about murder a little more than the other.
But yes, anyone who is here from You're in a Crowd, Call IT, thanks for being here.
Good Facebook group.
So that's kind of what's been going on.
There's also Brexit going on, but we're not smart enough to understand why it's not working. I've read so many articles about it. It seems like nobody knows what's going on. Everybody's doing everything wrong, but they're past the point of no return.
Yeah.
So the next month's going to be a lot of fun to see what Europe and England does.
It's an interesting time for everyone. Yeah. For America, for the UK. Like, there's... Yeah. The world is crazy. But, you know what? The world's nuts. We got podcasts so that we can listen to each...
television.
We can listen to each other. We can talk to each other. It's great.
That's why they invented TV, so that you could shut your blinds and pretend the world doesn't exist and watch much more interesting worlds.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah. And that's why we're going to talk about a show today that features a much more interesting world than ours.
Nice segue. Yeah, today we are talking about the show Misfits.
Misfits.
A 2009 British TV show, kind of a teen supernatural.
It's a drama. It's
drama,
a
drama with a lot of comedy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's talk about Misfits. You became a fan of it when you were in college.
Yeah, this is one of the shows, like, I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, I didn't really start getting into British TV shows, especially until college. Like, I had seen some British movies and liked and enjoyed them. I read all the Harry Potter books, but those are so universal, it doesn't feel British.
True.
And then in college, I watched Skins first and then started really getting obsessed with a lot more of these teen dramas.
Yeah.
And I'm somebody who love superheroes, like the X-Men are my favorite team, and so I don't remember if I started this from season one or season two, but I was a pretty early adopter for Misfits.
Cool.
Like, it just really hit, it like checked off everything on my list. I'm like, I like everything about this.
You love zany teen TV shows.
Yeah.
You also love X-Men and almost anything with superpowers, so this show really is kind of perfect for you.
Yeah, and I like shows that aren't afraid to get a little dark, but don't, like, depend on the darkness to be a good show.
Yeah.
And so I like the combination of tones in this show. There is enough levity where you can laugh and have a good time, but it does get a little gory.
It's true. It gets a little dark.
Yeah, why...
Misfits is not something that I was very familiar with until you told me about it.
Yeah.
I think I had... When I started to get into British TV, I was getting all of my shows from Netflix at the time.
Yeah. And this was on Hulu.
Yeah, this was on Hulu. It was on Netflix. So that kind of explains why I hadn't really come across it. I think once I really started to get into British TV, I had seen the poster for it. I had seen all of them in their orange jumpsuits. But I had no idea what it was about. All I saw were teenagers, and it was called Misfits, and I was like, I don't know. So I never checked it out, and then when we started dating, you were like, oh, have you seen Misfits? And I said no, and you were like, oh. So this, I think, was one of the first shows
we
kind of binged together.
And even then, we didn't watch all of it together, because as many people who watch the show know, there is, like, a strong turning point where you can go, I think I'm done with it now, and it's okay.
Yeah, but that happens sometimes in Brit. I think that's why British shows tend to end much earlier than American shows, and that's usually for the best. They don't really reach that point at which you're like, ugh, don't watch the last two seasons.
Yeah.
One of my favorite shows, Being Human, which is very similar to Misfits in that it is kind of like a supernatural British thing, one of those, yeah, it gets a little weird in the last couple seasons, but it starts off so
strong. When some
strong.
Of the main cast isn't there anymore.
Yeah, they start to phase out.
And I think British shows handle plot lines so much more efficiently and quickly than American shows. I think a lot of American shows depend on the mid-season finale and the finale.
That's true.
And that's the only time that big things happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's why The Walking Dead has taken so long to cover, like, not that much material in the books.
Yeah.
Because they don't do anything in the show. Half of the episodes, you're like, nothing happened here.
Yeah.
Whereas every episode of Misfits or Being Human that you mentioned, you could probably remember almost every episode because of, like, the plots that happen in them. They move very quickly, and then I think the actors are like, you know what? I've done everything I can in this show. I've only been here 2 years, but I've done so many different things. I'm good.
One thing that's interesting is that you and I watched this kind of at the start of our relationship.
Yeah.
Like, what, 4 years ago? Five years ago?
Yeah.
So we watched this together.
We're married.
You had already seen it. Now we're married, and now we just did a rewatch for this podcast, now that we're, like, already in this next phase of the relationship. But what was interesting is that there was stuff that I noticed and stuff that I liked this time around that didn't really impact me 5 years ago.
Ooh, like
when
what?
When I watched it. So, first of all, I think the first time I watched it, I thought Nathan was the best character and that Robert Sheehan was the best performer on the show. I was like, he's just amazing. And he is. He really is. He's so good. But this time through, watching it, I love Kelly so much. I think
she's great.
The first time I watched it 5 years ago, I didn't really get Kelly. I didn't really like her. I didn't really like the character. I didn't really think she was that funny, and you loved her. And
I love
just,
Kelly.
I didn't really get it. I think that she was just so aggressive. Like, she's so aggressive and tough, and it's so, like, the opposite of me. So that I just never really got Kelly's character. But, like, in the last, in the past 5 years, I've become more confident. I wouldn't say aggressive, but I've become more self-assured. Mm-hmm. I've become a feminist. Like, I feel like I've toughened. So now, watching it through, like, every time, everything
she's
Kelly...
a badass.
Everything Kelly says and does, I'm like, mm!
Get it, Kelly.
Girl! So, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, speaking of her, I realize we're like 10 minutes in and we haven't really talked about what the show is or what it's about. So it's about these five kids, or six initially, that are all, they show up for their first day of probation. They've all committed some offense and got arrested.
It's
they're on probation.
It's a community service.
Yeah. And they are outside doing community service, and this crazy storm happens. Huge pieces of hail, like the size of small cars sometimes. Like, these big pieces of ice come down, and a big lightning bolt strikes, and they all get powers. And each of their powers kind of relates to their insecurities or a flaw within the character.
Or their personalities.
Yeah, it is very much based on personality. And the five main characters we have are Nathan, played by Robert Sheehan, as you mentioned, and Kelly, played by Lauren Socha. Then there's Alicia, played by Antonia Thomas. Simon, played by Ewan Rion of Game of Thrones. Ooh. And Curtis, played by Nathan Stewart Jarrett. And then later on, there are characters that become a big part of the show, like Rudy, Jess, Finn, Abby, Alex, and Seth. But those main five are the ones that everyone really fell in love with watching the show. How they interact with each other and how they constantly fuck up. That's all they do, is they are fuck ups. And it's kind of a big moment in the sixth, like the finale of the first season, when Nathan gives this big speech about how, like, our generation has fucked up better than any generation before us.
It was like we were built to party and drink.
Another thing interesting about those five characters, and I wonder if you caught this the second time around, the opening credit sequence.
Yes.
That, for the most part,
illustrates what their power is.
Yeah, it's like a symbolic representation of their powers a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, Kelly, who has always kind of been insecure about, like, what other people are thinking of her, she has these, like, bubbles, like, coming out of her head, and she can obviously, like, read people's minds.
Yeah.
And then Curtis is, like, running backwards, and they've got all these different ones, but then Nathan's is a wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting, because I remember, I think I did watch it when it was airing first, because I remember people online were trying to figure out, like, what's his power?
And that's the thing.
Is he like a werewolf?
Is it like, in the first, it's like by the first or at least the second episode, they all kind of figure out what their powers are.
Yeah.
They don't really know how to control them always, but they know what
they know
it
they
is.
Can do
they know
something.
They have this ability, and Nathan doesn't have one.
He can feel it in his balls.
He can feel it in his balls. But yeah, and so it kind of leaves the audience wondering, like, does he not have one? But if you're, like, a big TV watcher, you know, for
he's
sure.
Going to.
He's going to have a power. We just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. And
so that is interesting that they held it off until the very last.
It's the last shot of
the
last,
like,
episode of the first season.
2 minutes before they reveal what his power was.
And then they air the credits over him just sitting in a coffin buried in the ground.
Yeah.
Because he's immortal.
I'm
immortal!
I think it's really funny. Our friends Kevin and Robin also love this show. And Robin was saying that she figured out the immortality for him before it was revealed, just because she was like, that makes so much sense for his character.
Yeah.
He wants to
live forever.
He thinks he's the greatest piece of shit that's ever walked on the face of Earth.
And honestly, he would probably be the youngest to die amongst them if they didn't have
it's
powers.
True.
He'd probably die
and
of something.
And that is a power that you can't see it. It doesn't manifest itself in any way until you get killed, and then you come back to life, so. Oh.
And the show's got a bunch of weird powers that we'll get into. At some point, I want to ask you what you think the worst power is. But do you think in that opening title sequence, is it just a fake-out that there's a wolf? Or do you think, where a lot of people online think it represents a hellhound, who is basically like a seer of death?
Well, like the Grimm.
Yeah.
Because that was a big thing. Like, before J.K. Rowling wrote the Grimm into Harry Potter, like, in Ireland, it was really big. People kept seeing, like, very large, unnaturally large black dogs that usually signify death. So it could be some kind of a grim.
Yes, that's what a lot of people online thought, too.
That's interesting.
Why do you think that so many people love this show? Why do you think people really connect with it? Because it's a weird show. It's very strange.
It is a really weird show.
Maybe that's why I like it so much, because it's one of the weirdest shows on TV.
It's weird, but I will tell you why I think it is so good. Number one, the characters are incredible.
Mm, yeah.
And once you get performers like Robert Sheehan and Ewan Rian, who are just like, they're so good at the character they're playing, but they're also really good actors that you just can't look away. So I think the characters are really good, but I think that what the show does best is it takes its premise, which is people with superpowers and kids with superpowers, and really leans into it. Yeah. I think that they, throughout at least the first three seasons, explore almost anything you can think of in terms of, like, what if a storm hit and everybody suddenly got this weird power, what would happen?
Yeah.
And so I think the fact that it explores it really well, but also leans into it and doesn't, especially by season two, it's not afraid to go crazy.
And then like, by Kelly season four falls and five, in love with a gorilla.
Yeah. A guy who, he was a gorilla, and when the storm hit, he turned into a person, and Kelly falls in love with him. Like, that's crazy.
I know.
But it works.
You haven't seen a ton of season four. So there's a character who comes on later called Abby. And she's a redhead. You've seen her. Like, she's very beautiful. Mm-hmm. And she kind of has amnesia when she first shows up. And can't figure out who she is, where she came from. Can't remember anything before the storm.
Mm-hmm.
That's all she can remember. Doesn't seem to have a power, but she's part of the community service group. She falls in love with a turtle.
Yeah, you told me about that.
So there was a guy who probably was in his shell a bit too much and the storm happened and he was just transformed
into
a turtle.
Wow.
And there's an episode in which people go to a party and they take ecstasy, which reverses their powers.
Mm.
And so a lot of people, like, their powers stop, but then one person is going crazy and he turns into a human and then gets turned inside out and explodes.
Oh.
But then Abby finds out. Her power is that she was somebody's imaginary best friend that the storm caused her to come to real life.
That explains why she's so weird.
Yeah, because she's not real.
She's weird.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
The last couple seasons are insane.
Yeah.
Not always in a good way, but you'll never see anything like that. What other TV show is a beautiful woman dating a turtle? And they all talk about, like, they can communicate with a turtle, but he's never shown talking or drawing or anything, but they all know what he's talking
he's
about.
He's drawing. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's weird.
I do have to say, like, on our rewatch, it was so interesting. We put on the first episode, and in the first 15 minutes of the first episode, there are three Game of Thrones actors.
Yeah.
And then, like, later in the throughout the seasons, more and more Game of Thrones actors
show up. There's a ton of Game of Thrones actors. Yeah. So, yeah, right off the bat, you have, I forget the actor's name, but he goes on to play Pip in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
He's got, like, this nice, crisp, flat-bill ball cap, and he's, even in the community service group, he's the one that doesn't belong, like, which
is
funny.
Did they ever say, did he have a power?
Well, he died before he could
figure it
out. I
know, but, like, I wonder, did they ever reveal what his power was?
He wasn't outside during it. He was inside in the stall smoking.
Oh, so maybe he didn't get a power.
And they're not consistent with it during the show. There's a ton of plot holes in the show. You gotta love it anyway.
Yeah.
But for the most part, most people were outside when it happened.
Yeah.
And that's how they got the power, or at least the door was open or something. So maybe he had a power, but odds are no.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's in it and gets killed very quickly, which is jarring.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Ewan Rian goes on to play Ramsay Bolton.
Yeah.
But so good. Something I learned and I told you about, he initially auditioned for Jon Snow.
Yeah.
And
so strange.
And apparently it was close. It was between him and Kit Harington. They said, like, they were only auditioning the two of them again and again. And finally, he got a call from the Game of Thrones people saying, you've been cast.
Yeah.
And they just said, you've been cast as boy.
Mm.
So he knew immediately, I'm not Jon Snow.
Yeah.
And they told him, we're not going to need you for a little while, but keep the next few years of your schedule open. And so he was like, okay, that's weird. And went out and read the books and realized, oh, I hope it's for this weird guy, Ramsey. And then he ended up getting to play him. Like, he was excited by the prospect of doing it before he even officially knew that's what it was.
Wow. And it's just so weird because I like him so much from Misfits.
Yeah.
Like, being Simon and being, like, the weird, shy guy, like, turning into, like, the heroic badass. Like, he's so good in Misfits, and I love him so much. And it is weird to watch. And it's weird, but it's great to watch him in Game of Thrones playing, like, one of the worst characters.
There's something interesting. Like, I love him as well so much in this show. And he initially was supposed to turn evil at the end of season one.
Simon?
He was going to be a bad guy that they had to kill at the end of the first season. But everyone liked him so much, the showrunners and the actors, that they changed it up last minute. And they're like, no, we're doing something else instead.
Wow.
So the last two episodes had to be rewritten. And he also wasn't going to be Super Hoodie. That was going to be, they didn't know what it was happening.
Yeah.
And during the whole time the second season was airing, we got a bunch of stuff like, everyone online was trying to guess who it was or, like, what he was doing it for, who he could be. And there's actually, they aired a lot of stuff not on TV. They were always making videos, making tweets in the character's name.
Yeah.
They were making, like, little shorts. And there was, like, a short where Simon and Nathan and I think Kelly see him, and he talks, and it's clearly not Iwan's voice.
Mm.
But then later, they just pretend like that video never existed, because it wasn't on the show, so it's not canon.
Interesting.
But they changed it last minute, because he's a phenomenal actor.
Yeah, he's great. And Simon's arc is so interesting.
I love how much there's a love story that is a time loop.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unique, and heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's soul wrenching.
It's interesting because the first time we watched this so many years ago, I was much younger. When he and Alicia, like I don't even know how to describe it. When Alicia gets like saved by the guy in the mask and like wakes up in his like super lair, I was like, my heart was,
Is it, like...
And I was like, oh my god, who is it? Who's it gonna be? Who is this amazing, like, masked man? And when she, like, goes in there and, like, opens the shower, and it's fucking Simon.
It's Simon.
But it's clearly not Simon. Because
like,
he was, like...
He wears his face differently.
Is such a testament to his acting, because when he's Simon, he's like, he makes himself so small and he seems scared all of the time.
When
he turns around and looks at Alicia, you're like,
just with the water like from the shower pouring off his face.
And he looks pretty good. Like he's
fit,
skinny and pale, but he's also in really good shape.
Everyone on this show, also, I think I've noticed like every male British actor is very thin and very fit.
Mm.
There aren't a lot of like big, broad-shouldered British actors.
Interesting.
I mean, maybe Americans, one, play a ton of sports in high school, and I think we really lean heavily onto, like,
maybe we were bred that way.
A ton of protein down our faces. Like, we're a fat, fat nation. But I don't know if also we kind of want those actors, and the Brits...
But here's something else, is that in America... In American shows, especially with teens, we're seeing people of about the same height and body type all being cast. You know, it's hot, very fit people. And in Britain, especially with this show, they're casting people on their talent, which is why you see a girl as curvy as Kelly on this show, but it's never brought up. Like, her weight is never brought up on this show because
it's not about that.
It's not an American show. Where if you are a curvy girl, you are playing a curvy girl.
And that will be your plot line, is that you're getting picked on because you're curvy.
Yeah.
Because now that
So it could
you.
Also be that they're just casting on who is the most talented.
Yeah, now I'm so mad at Glee. The first, like, three episodes, I've told you this, like, the first three or four episodes of Glee are really...
The season of Glee was great.
Yeah. Back whenever they focused on the teacher. All right, let's not talk about
Glee. I think it's interesting. And going back to Simon and Alicia's love story, so it's so interesting because it's so different from what you see. And it's
very
weird, but it's, like, romantic. I definitely, like, it affected me more 5 years ago. Mm. And I was like, this is amazing. Yeah. And it's romantic. And
it's very good
writing.
I'm
in love with Simon. And, like, I just thought it was amazing. And this time around, watching it all, it kind of hit me as, like, okay, it's a little sillier than I originally thought. Yeah. But at the same time, it's still really
good. It's still really good. The second season of it is a lot better than the third season. Whenever Alicia's figuring it out and he already knows he's in love with her.
Yeah.
Is better than when he's figuring it out and she knows she's in love with him.
Yeah.
It just, the chemistry is different and it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
But that first discovery is great.
Well, what's weird also is that when you and I watched this together, I think we watched season 1, 2, and half of 3.
Yeah.
So I had never seen the end of 3, 4, or 5.
Yeah.
And so when we just watched the end of season 3 tonight,
yeah, I forced you to watch it
before we recorded it, and I'm really glad you did, because that kind of wraps up Simon and Alicia's relationship.
Yeah.
And I had never seen the end, and it really gives it this new depth, because it's not just, oh, he's going back in time saving her so that she can help him become the man who can, like, save her. And I was like, yeah, that's weird and interesting. But tonight when I watched it and she died, and that's when he decided to go back in time so that he could save her, it's like, the whole time that the whole thing was happening, like, when she's finding Simon and he's like, everything has to happen this way. And he's being very mysterious about it. And I kept always thinking, like, what is it all for? What is it all for? Why is he saving her? And, like, if you think about it, all he's really doing is making it to where they can spend a little bit more time together.
Yeah.
All of that work so that they get to spend a little bit more time together. It's so weird.
It's all for love.
But it's really good. And yeah, I cried.
Yeah, as you should. I mean, it's really beautiful. But that kind of reminds me, you know, all of the major characters on the show, especially in the first season, are gone by season 4, episode 4.
Mm.
Curtis is the last one to leave,
mm-hmm,
and it's in season 4, episode 4. But by then, most of the rest of the cast had left.
Yeah.
So I just want to briefly touch on how they all, like, leave the show, because this is a show that celebrates death a lot,
mm-hmm,
and it is not afraid to shy away from any character dying.
Yeah.
However, our unkillable character, Nathan, mm-hmm, just up and leaves. Like, out of nowhere in a Christmas episode, he falls in love with somebody who's not Kelly,
yeah,
and I'm not here for it, because he and Kelly are great together.
That's something that hit me this time around watching it, was how cute Nathan and Kelly's relationship.
They're adorable
it's
together.
It's weird. It shouldn't work, but it does.
But at the same time, it should work, because they're the only two that really don't count the other one out for who they are.
It's true.
I think the rest of the people in the group look down on the two of them a little bit for their personalities, but I think they really appreciate each other and don't judge where they come from.
I love that moment when they're burying bodies, and, like, Kelly's being really quiet because she's, like, wearing a wig.
She's got bald.
And, like, she's being really quiet that night, and Nathan's, like, he's, like, you haven't spoken. And he's, like, what does he say? He's, like, you haven't punched me in at least 2 hours.
Yeah.
I'm worried about you.
And
it's just really sweet. Like, you can see it, like, it's, like, the first time at Nathan, it's, like, Nathan's shown, like, caring about somebody.
Yeah.
Other than himself. And maybe his mom, so...
Also from Game of Thrones.
I love Nathan and Kelly.
So Nathan leaves at the end of the second season. He doesn't come back. He goes to Vegas, and we know he's still alive because there was a couple of short films that were released afterwards, and one of them takes place in Vegas, and it's showing what he's up to.
I've never seen any of these.
There's one of him, and I believe there's one of Rudy. They kind of, like, much like Skins did, it's a weird thing to do, to, like, do a kind of short after the fact.
Yeah.
But then we have Simon and Alicia, who we talked about. Both of them die.
Yeah.
Simon dies in season 2, but then that's future Simon that dies in season 2. So present Simon leaves at the end of season 3, and Alicia dies at the end of season 3.
So they both leave at the same time.
They both technically leave the show. Yeah. And then the show had another blow where Lauren Socha, who plays Kelly...
Yeah.
They swear this isn't why she didn't come back, but it totally is. It's awful, and I don't want you to hate the character of Kelly. Like, love Kelly still.
Okay.
This person is shitty. Lauren Socha, she actually, ironically enough, was given community service because she racially assaulted a taxi driver in London. And it was not good, and the guy was, like, genuinely terrified. And there's, like, an 8-minute long recording he has of her just, like, going in on him. And it's very uncomfortable. And the creators swear that's not why she was written off the show, is creative differences, but she hasn't really done anything since. So I think she's blacklisted. Everyone's like, oh, you're terrible. So you're gone.
That's a shame.
And so season 4 starts out.
Her brother is getting work, though.
Yeah.
Do you know her brother?
I've seen him and stuff. He's just like her.
He is. Oh, that's the weirdest thing about them, is that they have the same exact face.
Yeah.
But one of them is
a boy.
One of them is a woman, and one's a muscular man. It's insane. I've never seen siblings with faces like boy and girl that match that well.
Yeah.
But yeah, he is in Being Human, which is I'm going to show you that show.
We're going to do that.
He comes in later seasons. He's a werewolf later. But he also, I think, was on. What's that ABC show about fairy tales?
Once Upon a Time.
Yes, he's on that.
Also, another show with a lot of promise, the first 3 episodes. Man, that show went off the rails. I'm sorry if you guys like it. But it... all of them leaving, and especially 3 people leaving at the same time, made season 4 start off really weird. Mm. Where they were like, okay, so we have Curtis left.
Yeah.
And Rudy.
Yeah. Who is great. Rudy's great.
But then it's like, what do you do?
Yeah.
And then so they had to introduce 2 new characters, Finn and Jess, who end up being okay characters.
Yeah.
The episode they're introduced in, like, is not great. Yeah. Some people like it, but it's not very good. And then by the time it gets to Curtis's death, like, that episode in which he dies is very sad, especially because it's the 4th episode of the season and you don't think it's going to happen. You think for sure he's going to survive, and it's a big moment where he's on the phone with Rudy, and there's a lot going on that I don't want to get all the way into in the episode, but he's on the phone with Rudy and Rudy's talking to him and he's like, yeah, just come on back, you know, and let's, you know, I love me a good happy ending. And Curtis says, like, there aren't any happy endings, mate. And then dies.
Wow.
And it's, like, it's weird when a phone call can make you cry. Because usually it takes actors being physically in a scene together.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's probably the best thing that the actor who plays Curtis does on the show. Mm. Because I think I've told you, I think he's the weakest part of the show.
As good of an actor as the rest of the cast.
And that's not to say he's bad.
No, he's fine.
He's fine.
Yeah.
He's perfectly okay.
Also, he's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Curtis, also, oh my gosh.
Whenever he gets the power to change into a woman, then he's still gorgeous.
He's still gorgeous.
Double gorgeous.
Woman. But yeah, Curtis, like, I've always thought he was really cute, but like this time
very
around,
angular.
I was like, oh, like his eyes are such a
beautiful
great
skin.
Shape. Oh, Curtis, you're gorgeous.
I mean, everybody in the show is attractive as hell.
Speaking of Curtis, I do love when Curtis does his flashback, or like he goes back in time, he tries to change everything so that he's not in community service.
Yeah.
And it works. He's not in community service, but then all of his friends who are in community service end up dying because he wasn't there to save them.
Except for...
well, that's so weird, is that he walks up, like, he's standing there looking at the vigil outside of the community center, and then Nathan walks up and he's got like a bandage on his head.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, what happened? And Nathan tells him, like, oh, their probation worker went crazy and killed them. They all died, but I survived.
Is a big clue to anyone who's trying to figure out Nathan's power.
Yeah, he's immortal.
Yeah.
But that's such a good, like,
catch it.
You don't really catch it the first time through, but once you know his power and you watch that scene again, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's good writing. Oh,
so good. And that's one of the things. I think the writing on the show is very good. I think that the dialogue and the language is so creative. And
it's true.
Like, one, the curse words they use are very creative. I love the way that they curse. And to me, it feels the way... I know a lot of people celebrate Diablo Cody's writing in America.
Yeah.
The person who wrote Young Adult and Juno. I'm not a fan, but I think her writing feels stilted. It's like she wants to be the writers of Misfits, in my mind, because this feels like real people talking.
They do. They seem like teenagers
and
in every way.
Just like Skins, the creator of the show is a younger man, and he interacted with the cast members constantly, and they gave writing tips on what their character would do and say, and they ended up influencing their own plot lines, because they would give him ideas, and he'd be like, you know, that's good. Yeah, you can do that. And so I think that kind of a partnership really shows.
Yeah.
And not enough shows take that risk to connect with their cast and figure out, okay, you're not just this character. Mm-hmm. Let's elevate the show to fit your character.
Yeah. I also think that the way that the powers and the way the logic of how everything works is pretty tight in the first season. By second season, they decide to go a little bit, like, crazier, and it's great.
They go big.
And it's great. And then by, like, third and fourth season, like, the logic of everything doesn't really make sense. But, like, the first season's pretty good, and one thing I noticed that's so good is the way that Alicia's power works. Like, her power is that whoever touches her immediately wants to have sex with her. Which at first seems like a great power, because she loves to have sex.
Yeah. But and everyone wants to be loved.
It's true.
Like, to feel like you're the pinnacle of sexual attraction. I mean, who wouldn't
want that?
But
what I love about it and the way that it works is that they show in, like, I think one episode, or maybe it's across two episodes, they show, like, Curtis touches her, and then he's like, oh, yeah, I want to have sex with you. And then you're like, well, okay. And then Simon touches her, and then he says something weird.
I want to put my cock in your armpit.
No, I think he says something else.
He does, well, at one point he says that, and Nathan, and when he lets go, Nathan goes, oh, cock, armpit, usual stuff.
But it kind of made me feel like, oh, maybe the power isn't just that it makes somebody, like, want to have sex with you. It, like, is specific to the person. And that is true, because when the old guy touches her, he says something to her that's very sexual, but in a way of, like, someone from the 1920s would say it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much...
He's not just like, I want to do you. He's like, let me kiss your sweet cherry lips.
Yeah, I think it's very much that it makes it so that only your sexual urges are real.
Yeah.
You, nothing else about you can remember. You don't, none of you, the rest of your body exists other than that sexual urge. Terrible power. Awful.
Also, this is one thing about the show that you don't see, and I think this is what sets it apart from a lot of shows or comics where people have superpowers. Just about anything where someone gets superpowers, or, like, a bunch of people get superpowers, X-Men, Spider-Man, like, anything. Heroes, the show Heroes. They always end up... They always end up fighting crime.
Yeah.
Like, they always become superheroes because they have to fight crime. And in this, they don't.
They don't at all.
They just live their lives. And sure, they have to defeat lots of people along the way, but they never become, like, vigilantes, like, going out into the streets at night trying to save people. And I was thinking about it the other day, and I was like, well, why don't they? And I was like, how dare they? But then I was thinking about it, and I was like, any show where people become, like, crime-fighting vigilantes or, like, superheroes, they're written into a world in which that is necessary.
Yeah.
So they're written into Gotham City, or, you know, like, a really crime-ridden area of New York.
It's just Britain.
So, so it's interesting to me that, like, that isn't necessary if you write them into, it's just normal life. The police are taking care of those things.
Oh, but two things. One, the police in the show are the worst police in the entire world. Nobody should get away with what they get away with. Uh-uh. Over 100 characters die in this series.
They bury
over
a lot of bodies.
100. There are, like, police that are after them several times.
Yeah.
And they only get caught one time and get put back in community service.
Yeah.
But then also on the superheroes thing, Rudy actually becomes kind of obsessed with that in the fifth season.
Mm.
Where he joins a power... a group for people with powers.
Yes.
And there's a woman there who knits the future.
Mm.
And he sees what he thinks are his friends on this jumper.
Yeah.
And is like, that's us. We're going to be a superhero team. He's wrong. And it's very different than that.
Damn.
But they even touch on that. I think by the fifth season, they're like, we have to address why they haven't tried to be a superhero team. These people.
Yeah. Hey, Sheldon.
Hey, Danny.
Would you join me in the garden?
I'm a classy gentleman.
I think it's time for a snack.
Hmm, yeah.
All right, let's go! Hello and welcome to Snack Time. This is a portion of the podcast where Sheldon and I like to try a British snack, whether it's a candy or a food or a drink that we've never tried before, or maybe have, but we love it. We try to pick a snack that kind of correlates with the episode. It doesn't always work.
Yeah, it usually doesn't work. We thought it would be easier starting off.
However, I almost had us trying chocolate hobnobs on this episode, but I went to the store and I was looking at the British candy, as I do every time I go to the store, and I saw a bag of Pick and Mix.
I cannot believe you found this.
And I thought, you know what, we gotta get the Pick and Mix because pick and mix is what Nathan got in trouble. It's what he claims he got in trouble for, and that's why he has community service.
I mean, it is.
I got done in for eating pick and mix, and you're like,
pick and mix?
Why did you get arrested for eating pick and mix? I thought that Beverly. that was kind of Bev. Hold my hand, Bev.
And then his dad comes in, and his dad is such a great actor too, and like, ugh.
But yeah, so pick and mix. So pick and mix in England. As far as I understand, we don't really have that here. I mean,
we've got candy shops.
Yeah, you can you can open these like plastic bins of candy and put it in a bag. But we don't have what is called officially pick and mix.
Yeah, there's no name for that. It's
which
just
is
candy.
In England, you get a bag that they give you, and then you just fill it up with whatever candy. And there's a ton of candy.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is apparently some places they don't charge by weight. Mm. It's like whatever you can put in the bag. So
How are they so skinny?
Not every place does this, I found a YouTube video when I searched pick and mix, and there's a YouTube video where a girl is demonstrating the ultimate pick and mix packing technique.
To get the most candy for a certain
amount of
money.
Yeah, so she puts in like one thing specific, and then she takes licorice and she's rolling it around the other things and putting it in. So it's all about getting...
You know the owner of the shop hates her. He just watches her come in and he's like, damn it, here goes $30.
That bag of candy is probably a solid brick of sugar.
Yeah.
Anyway, so since we don't really have pick and mix... in America, there is a Roundtrees, which is a British candy company. They make a thing called Pick and Mix, and it has Tutti Frutti's, which look like little candy-coated pieces of candy. They have fruit pastels, which are kind of like sugar-coated gumdrops, and then something called fruit gems, which look like, I don't know, kind of like a fruit snack. No, that's the Tutti Frutti.
Oh.
So we're going to post a picture on Instagram. Okay.
Okay, so let's try them in the order that you mentioned. The Tutti Frutti first.
Tutti Frutti's.
There's several colors here. They may be different flavors,
but... So this is kind of square-shaped and...
it's hard.
It's candy-coated.
Yeah.
So I'm picking up a green one.
I got a red one.
Oh.
Ooh, it's like...
Ooh, it's like a Skittle.
I was thinking, have you ever had Chewy Spree?
I have... It tastes exactly like a Skittle. It's like a big square Skittle.
The green one is so Skittle. Right? See, try the red. That's
What does it taste like?
I don't know.
What flavor is it?
I want to say...
Is it cherry?
Mm.
Ooh. It's like a red Skittle.
But see, it doesn't taste like a Skittle to me. This green one definitely does.
So far, the Tutti Frutti is amazing.
Love it. I'd eat a whole bag of that.
I would eat a whole bag of this, too. So let's try the fruit pastel.
Is that this one or this
one? Yeah, it's a gumdrop-looking one.
Okay. It's way too much work, this one.
It tastes really good. The flavor is good.
Flavor's good. I don't like chewing this much. I want to get in and get out with my candy.
And this one is really, really chewy. Like,
the flavor's good.
Almost too chewy. I would still eat these.
That may be a good sucking candy. I could just leave it in your mouth for a while. Your grandparents would love this one.
Okay, so far, Tutti Frutti's are still better.
Yeah.
Better than the
fruit pastels. They reign supreme over the fruit pastels.
All right, let's try the fruit
gem. At least
they're
not puking pastels.
From Harry Potter.
And now I know what they look like.
Let's try the fruit gem.
And these are gems.
They look like fruit snacks. No, this is a berry.
Yeah.
It's a strawberry.
Oh, yours is a strawberry?
Yeah. What's yours?
I mean, they look like lemons.
That looks like a lemon.
Yeah.
It's a purple lemon.
It's a purple lemon.
Oh.
I'm going to eat a purple lemon.
Okay, I'm going to eat the strawberry. Whoa.
That's a jujube.
That is a jujube. It's so tough. It's like the beef jerky of candy.
Yeah. Immediately the second my teeth touch it, I'm like, I was not allowed to have this as a kid.
Well, you had a dentist, father.
There's so much candy I could not have, and that's one of them. And I really like the flavor of jujubes, but couldn't have them.
The flavor in this... The texture is like, it's really chewy, but the flavor is really good.
Yeah, I really like that one. I like more than the pastels.
Yeah.
Do you know what it's like to be a child growing up with a dentist for a father who won't let you eat anything too hard or too sticky or like taffy, and then you discover you have an allergy to chocolate?
It would suck.
That is like... Halloween is awful because you're like, okay, I'll eat payday. Oh no, there's caramel in that. Okay, I'll give my parents my candy.
Aww, I'm sorry.
I'm gonna eat the rest of the
The what?
The not Skittles.
By the way, this purple lemon that we were talking about.
Yeah.
I think it might be a blackcurrant.
I hear that, and I know you've told me what it is before. What is it, like a plump raisin? No, that's a
blackcurrant. I think is kind of like a berry. We don't really have currants in the U.S. We don't have them, but they're really big in Britain. Like, I see a lot of candy and, like, drinks and stuff that have black currant.
And it shows up on Bake Off every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody will make something with currants in it.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna eat another pastel.
I imagine they're like raisins somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't know why my brain thinks that.
You're thinking
that.
Of sultanas.
I've never heard that word until now.
I've told you about them. Mm-hmm. They're really small raisins in England. They're called sultanas. Okay.
So what do you think overall, how do you rank the Roundtree's pick and mix?
I think I kind of rank it around where we ranked the licorice all sorts. Ooh. In that the best thing about them is that it's a variety, and it's really fun to have, like, open a bag of candy and there's more than one kind of candy.
Yeah.
Like, that's exciting.
But then the worst thing about them is that it's a variety. Like, you're not getting all of the candy you want. Like, there is going to be a point where you've eaten your favorite and you're stuck with the others that you don't want as much.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with mixed bags. However, it did get me to try three flavors of a thing where I may only be searching for one.
Yeah.
And then, honestly, I'm okay with the other two. They're not my favorites, but, I mean, I'm pretty high on this overall.
Yeah,
I like this a lot. Like, you know, like, I like licorice, and, like, so that all sorts bag was a big surprise, and it was fun. But this, like, the fruit flavor is so intense on all of these.
Yeah, they do have a really, really good, like, better than most American fruit snacks.
There's so many American fruit snacks that taste very artificial.
Yeah. All right, well, let's end this snack time, and let's go back into the house. Let's leave the garden and continue.
Goodbye, fancy garden.
Goodbye.
So something this show does is it introduces people that have superpowers that you probably haven't thought of before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not a lot of the classic super strength or flight or, you know, like, there aren't a lot of the powers you think of when you normally think of superheroes.
Yes.
Like, even the main group has powers that are really weird. Like, I mean, we mentioned Alicia can touch people and just, like, very much turn into them. Like, granted, Kelly has, she can read people's minds, and Simon can turn invisible.
Yeah.
But even the, like, turning back time doesn't work like you think it will.
Yeah.
And, like, being immortal, I mean, I guess it's useful if you're dying a lot, which Nathan is, but what do you think are some of the worst powers that show up on this show?
Oh, goodness. I mean, Alicia's power that makes people want to have sex with her is a pretty bad power.
It's
because,
a pretty bad one.
First of all, if somebody she doesn't want to sleep with touches her, they end up pretty much assaulting her because
she has to get away.
Yeah, like they're not in control of themselves. Second of all, anyone that she does want to sleep with, they're not really choosing to sleep with her, and they don't even remember it anyway. So, like, I think Alicia's power is maybe one of the worst. Hers is in the first season. It's maybe the one that's kind of an affliction.
Yeah,
more
out
than
of the
rest.
First season, it's probably the worst. Maybe the video game world guy.
Oh,
that's a pretty bad power.
My gosh. I mean, love that episode.
So unique. Like, what a great idea. And it looks immediately like Grand Theft Auto 2 or 3.
My gosh.
It and you're like, wow, he's
but
living
a game.
But
the fact that he also walks like he's in a video game, too. Like, he'll walk, and then when he turns, he does this weird turn.
And he's always asking, where's Conti?
Where's Conti? Yeah, it's that episode
that's
is
good,
so good.
Great
but that's,
episode.
That is a power you never see in anything. Someone who thinks that they're in a video game trying to win points.
They have an alternate reality.
By shooting people and, like, finding the hidden cop and stuff.
Yeah, he's got to get the storyline.
That is a really, really good.
And it's great when he comes back later and he's trying to control his power and does and doesn't a little bit.
So that episode also has somebody else with a power that sucks, but in theory should be good. And you know it's one of the powers.
Ollie.
I want. Is that his name?
His name's Ollie.
The kid that, like, shows up one day, and he's new to community service. He's got, like, a weird ponytail in the back and weird sandals. And anyway, their probation worker's like, oh, he's one of you now. And Nathan's like, what?
Like, he's like a new member of the gang.
He can't be in our gang. And then you're like, who is this guy? And I was like, oh, a new, like, team member. And I was like, who is this going to be?
You should have known better.
I know. But, like, so his power is that he can teleport, like, 4 or 5 feet.
Yeah, he's just not very good at it.
Gotcha. But, like, it's interesting, like teleportation is a great power. And anytime it shows up in anything, a comic or a show, it's just, that's my dream power. I want teleportation more than anything.
And then he dies that episode, gets shot in the head.
Yeah. And that's what threw me, is because I thought he was getting introduced, because they give him a pretty good introduction.
Yeah.
And, like, show his weird hair and his weird face and his sandals. And I love that also when he teleports, he only goes 5 feet and his shoe doesn't even come with him.
Yeah.
It stays behind.
But then he gives his heart to Ruth Negga, but some other terrible powers, milk manipulation.
It's a terrible power, but it ends up being very powerful.
Yeah, I'll talk about that episode. Other bad ones, getting naked and thinking you're a dog.
Oh, no.
A power where you're bald. Where
and you can make other people bald.
You can make other people bald. Wow. Turning into a turtle, as we mentioned. Being somebody's imaginary friend. You can bring somebody back from the dead, but they'll be a zombie.
That's a bad power.
And then there are a couple of them that show up around the same episode where there's one that's kind of like a weird, almost inverse of Alicia's first power, where somebody gets like a magical STD that she can give to men, where if she sleeps with a man, then his penis will fall off. It'll like shrivel up and fall off. And that's funny, but like not good if you want to have a serious relationship.
It's true.
And then there's another one, what I think is the most useless power. There's a power that somebody can tell how many people you've slept with because that number will show up on your forehead around them.
Wow.
And so I just want to throw out there, so it's later on.
That's terrible.
But let's see if
also,
you can guess.
You shouldn't be judging people on how many people they've slept with.
Oh, you should not. But the four people who are there are Finn and Jess.
Yes.
Rudy.
Yes.
And Alex.
Okay.
How many people do you think they've slept with?
I don't know.
Okay, we should put them on the spot.
Rudy is probably... So, well, I don't want to make judgments about people.
So, Finn slept with one.
Okay.
Jess had two.
Okay.
Alex, very good looking man.
Yeah.
46.
That seems high, but whatevs.
Rudy has 99.
Oh, Rudy!
Rudy!
What a
we haven't
good,
talked enough about Rudy.
I was going to say, let's stop for a minute and talk about Rudy, because I remember when we finished season two of Misfits, and you were like, by the way, just so you know, Nathan goes off the show, and they replace him, and I was like, that's dumb. Nathan's the best part of the show. He's the funniest. Yeah. And
you're not wrong.
Actor, and I was like, no one can replace him, and I was very upset, and then, like, Rudy came on.
And he's the heart and soul
Joseph
of the show.
Joseph Gilgen.
He's amazing. The fact that they give him a chance to play two characters.
It's true.
And it's basically, it's his ego and his id.
Yeah.
That's what they become. And then he has a third version, which they lovingly call Psycho Rudy.
Ooh.
But something I find ironic is Psycho Rudy, even though he's scary as hell, doesn't kill a single person, and regular Rudy kills a bunch of people.
Wow.
So,
yeah, Rudy was a great addition to the show, just because Joseph Gilgun's so funny. He's also just really charming.
Yeah.
Like, he's so great, but the best part about it is that I think he brings what Nathan had, which is extreme watchability, charisma, kind of cute. Yeah, he's like the offensive one.
Yeah.
So he brought all of that back, but it wasn't like he was trying to be Nathan. Like, he brought this whole new character, and so...
And they knew it, too. The creator of the show, Howard Overman, he said that he didn't want to just make it feel like they're doing a Nathan clone.
Yeah.
And so he specifically gave him a lot more dramatic plot lines, where he's like, this actor can take it, like, he's very good.
Yeah.
And so he gave him a lot more to work with.
I think I was telling you earlier, Joseph Gilgun started acting really young.
Yeah.
Like, he started, he was kind of a delinquent, apparently, like a problem kid.
You say really young, but you mean his late teens.
I don't know when he started.
Oh, you told me earlier he was 17.
Yeah, but I could be wrong. It could be earlier than that, but I know...
Whenever I think of really young, I think of, like, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen started acting really young.
I don't know when he started. I think he was in, like, grade school or junior high or something, but I know that, yeah, he was kind of, like, a problem kid and was, like, I guess, like, doing drugs and was just, like, he just had so much energy and that he was just, like, a crazy kid, and then someone was like, you should do drama, and so he did, and he got cast in, I don't remember which soap opera it is, but one of Britain's biggest, most long-running soap operas, he got cast on that when he was very young, like a teenager.
Wow.
Because he's just great. And now...
And now he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's on Preacher.
He's in American shows. He's so great.
He's so
I
good.
Love him. It's... He's also... He always, like... He gets cast in a lot of things where he ends up looking so nasty. You know, he'll look like...
I think he likes that,
kind of a degenerate, but, like, in real life, he looks so cute.
It's classy as hell.
Such a cutie.
Do you want to know something that'll make you love him even more?
What?
He got a tattoo. On his chest, he has the numbers 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, like, honoring his time on the series, and each number represents a different cast member from season 3.
Wow.
That basically is his way of being like, hey, this show means a lot to me so Aww. Much. I am going to remember each of you.
That's
on
really
my,
sweet.
Yeah.
It also He's... seems like, wow, that's a lot to commemorate
yeah.
something like that. But he already had a bunch of tattoos.
He's got
before.
A bunch of tattoos. He's got a lot of really unique ones and cool ones.
Yeah.
I know we're kind of, this is already going to be a long episode, but I would love to tell you a little bit of trivia that I know about this show.
Okay.
So we've mentioned some of it now. But did you know this show was originally supposed to take place in a shopping center?
Ooh.
Basically, the original idea is every episode they would be working in a different shop.
Mm.
And that would be kind of the joke, is that they would be like constantly bouncing from shop to shop. And E4 told the creator to make it more urban.
Ooh. What a and, word.
Yeah.
What a word. What does urban
word.
Mean?
And so he was like, so we're going to make them criminals, yeah? That's about it?
Put a chav in there.
Yeah. And let somebody die in the first episode? Yeah, that's pretty urban.
Interesting.
Yeah. We mentioned that Robert Sheehan left the show, and there's a lot of rumors that he left because he was looking to make more money to yeah. try to find bigger projects. But, like, in every interview, he says he just wanted to piss off and do other things. That's all.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah. And, yeah. I mean, I think just now he's really starting to take off in America with Umbrella Academy. Mm-hmm. People are obsessed with it. Because he was in Mortal Instruments, which nobody watched, and probably rightfully so.
We watched part of it.
We watched it in Spanish.
In Spanish, on our honeymoon, in the resort.
It was watchable.
Yeah, I mean, we did keep watching it, so I guess
somehow
it's got that going for it.
But something interesting, he was originally cast in Fear the Walking Dead. He was going to be the lead in the Walking Dead spinoff.
It's probably for the best that he didn't
probably
do
for
that.
The best, but he could have made the show a success. But apparently he had a really shitty agent for a while, and his agent pushed him to do a lot of things and take projects he didn't want to do.
Damn.
And he has since fired them, and I think that's why he's kind of more in control now.
Interesting.
Yeah. Another last bit of trivia. So, you know the setting where it's filmed, the lake in the
yes.
building with all of the...
Iconic.
Do you know what other super famous movie was filmed here?
No.
Clockwork Orange.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like, watch A Clockwork Orange again because it's all... Yeah, probably no.
I mean, it's an expertly made film.
Yes. It is a technological wonder,
mm-hmm.
and that's all we can say about
it. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So while it is a show that's amazing, it's got a lot of great things, like I mentioned, there's so many plot holes in the show. Like, well, and not just plot holes, but there are things that happen that raise other questions, like, where did this storm come from? Why is it a thing? What?
I kind
Nobody
of like
ever...
that they never explain it. You know how,
yeah.
Like, Stanley always talked about, like, with Peter Parker, it had to be a radioactive spider, and with Hulk, it was this, like, radiation from this thing gone wrong, and that's why he invented X-Men, was a way to create all of these mutants without having to introduce an origin.
They're just born with it.
And so I kind of like that the storm, it's simple, you know? This crazy storm happened,
storm.
People got powers. Like,
but it's weird that, like, nobody ever investigated or figured out that it's the storm that did it, because everyone says it was that storm.
Like, it was after
They
that
all
storm.
Know.
Yeah.
But it's never reported on.
Yeah.
Also, my biggest thing is... Why doesn't Kelly hear anything relevant to the plot?
It's
like,
true.
She's got the most convenient and inconvenient power.
The way that Kelly's mind reading works is like very spotty, and always in times when it's, yeah.
Like, how does she not know that Simon is the super hoodie
yeah.
and that Alicia knows about him?
Yeah. She should be reading people's
she
thoughts.
Should.
If that's her power, it should have been,
Yeah. And, I mean, in the episode with the milk guy.
Yeah.
That episode does a lot of things for the show where basically the entire episode takes place. A lot of very big important things happen in the episode.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, Curtis turns back time and none of it happens.
Yeah.
So, like, one major thing that happens is in that episode, Simon follows Alicia back to, like, future Simon's flat.
Yeah.
And she's, like, in there crying, and he comes to because he was invisible, and she tells him everything.
Yeah.
And so he understands who he has to become, and then they turn back time, and none of that happens.
Hmm.
But at the start of season two, they're in a relationship, and
it's
kind of like, but...
Maybe Curtis... No, Curtis wasn't there.
No, he wasn't there. It's a thing that, like, granted, some time does take place, like, a couple of months.
Yeah.
Maybe she told him, but come on. Yeah. And then also, what happened to the girl who's going to save the world? She was going to heal the world in that episode. Because now she's no longer dead.
Yeah.
Mother Teresa's no longer dead.
Wow.
That episode is great, but it's problematic if you think about it too long.
It's true.
How is the milk guy the first person in the world to come forth?
Right? To, like, be famous for the power?
Yeah.
I do love that episode. Like, it is crazy, but I do like that episode a lot. But just because, like, it is such a dumb power, but I like that he's so evil that he like, figures out a way to, like, kill people with it.
Yeah.
Although I do take a little bit of issue that it is a little hard for me to watch something that shows cheese as your enemy. Because cheese is my friend. I love cheese. It is my favorite food.
I was wondering where you were going with
that. And I don't like the idea that it's dangerous.
I thought you were going to say that, like, I think it's gross just the color of milk coming out
of
people.
It is gross when...
But for you, it's cheese, and that's
the
funniest
thing. No, it is really gross when, Simon finds them, and they've all got this, like, stringy cheese coming out of them. That's nasty.
But Curtis is lactose intolerant.
Yeah, so he's safe. And I was gonna say, any vegans would be safe.
Yeah, you could.
We have, I think we probably have way more vegans now than we did in 2009.
Yeah.
So, that milk power might not be too powerful today.
No.
But, yeah, interesting. So, how well do you think this show has held up 10 years later?
I think, like you mentioned, there are some things where, like, a decade later, we are more advanced and more open-minded to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I think it holds up really well.
I think it does, too, and I was kind of surprised. I was expecting to hear more problematic sexual jokes.
Yeah.
And there is stuff that Nathan says about girls and, like, about... Just, like... Like, there's weird stuff that Nathan says, but it's always followed by Curtis looking at him like... You're disgusting.
So immediately we get a lens of the audience going,
you get
this isn't okay, but he's saying it anyway.
But it's not the show saying it. That's specifically his character. So, yeah, I think the show holds up pretty well.
The only thing that doesn't hold up is if you've just watched Umbrella Academy like we have, and then you watch this.
Yeah.
The first time I watched Misfits, I'm like, oh yeah, Nathan, yeah, he's my age. And now I'm watching and I'm like, he's a baby. He's so small.
Yeah, because we started rewatching this right after we finished Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, like, so maybe the day after.
We went from, like, we rewound time like Curtis.
Yeah.
We went back in time like Simon and saw a 10 years younger version of Robert Sheehan. And he looks so young.
Yeah.
He's a baby. He looks so beautiful.
So what are some of your favorite episodes or moments? Do you have, like, really big ones? I've got so many good ones.
I do... I love the moment, I think it's in the first episode, where Curtis looks like he's gonna punch Nathan. And Nathan's sitting in the wheelchair, he's just, like, digging around in the wheelchair, just kind of messing around with the wheels. And then Curtis goes to punch him, and he's like, you can't hit someone in a wheelchair! Like, Nathan's such a...
Like, Nathan, you're not actually in a wheel, like, you're physically
you're
in a wheelchair,
in it,
but
you're not in a... Yeah, it's great.
I mean, I think the whole pilot's amazing.
I
as
also...
As is the finale of the first season. Those are two of my favorite
love
episodes.
Love the ongoing joke that dies.
And there's a great line that they have, where they say, can we please stop killing our probation workers?
Yeah, they just always die. And I like when they're with the zombie cheerleaders.
Zombie
when
cheerleaders.
When that lady
are so
walks
good.
In and they're like, who are you? And she's like, I'm your new probation worker. And then immediately gets killed. Like, it's just such a good running joke.
I love zombie cheerleaders, Satanist scouts, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Like, it gets weird, and I love those that they start to be like, yeah, we're gonna introduce some weird tropes that aren't superhero-y, but they're sci-fi. Come on in. Also, I love the entire time travel Nazi episode, and especially love the way that Kelly says, "Fucking Nazis!"
I was gonna say, it's so great. You see these Nazis come in and, like, take someone away or whatever, and she just goes, "Fucking Nazis!" Like,
she's so good. And then we get the open, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good line.
I'm hearing the music in my head.
I definitely think that "Save me, Barry" is such a good line. It's, when Nathan's, like, about to fall off the roof, and he reaches for Simon, still doesn't know. It's the end of the season. Still doesn't know Simon's name and calls him Barry. It's so funny. And it's iconic. Yeah. So I love Save Me,
but
Barry.
It's not my favorite Nathan
Save
moment.
Me, Barry! Well,
I think I pointed out to you when we were watching it, but I don't know if you caught it. It's whenever they're going through all of the donated clothes, and there's a bunch of ski clothes.
Oh, yeah.
And he puts on these ski goggles, and he's like, "Who am I? Come on, I'm not gonna say
it." Like, a massive wanker?
No, he says the C word, which I am not about to drop on this podcast.
Yeah.
I curse enough. I just don't feel comfortable doing that with your mom listening.
If we were British, we could say the C word and get away with it.
Americans cannot say that.
We can't.
Australians say it to mean best friend.
It's true.
Like, what a country. But, no, I mean, that was it. I just love him pretending to be Bono, and nobody gets it.
That's a really good moment. I think as far as, like, favorite episodes, like, the pilot's really good.
So good.
I also really like the episode where Alicia finds out that Simon is the guy in the mask. Like, I just love it, and that theme, that, like, cool Simon theme music is cool. Yeah, I think that's maybe one of my favorites.
I also love the haunting, like, Simon is creepy theme music where he, like, opens the freezer, and it's the probation worker's fiance. That music is... Ooh,
it's so scary. That was an amazing face you just made. Ooh. That was weird. So how British is this show?
It's very British.
I agree. I know that we talk about certain shows on here. Like, some are not that British, like, inherently. Some are, like, Blackadder and stuff, because it's all set in, like, British history. I think Misfits is extremely British.
It's so British.
Just because...
The language.
Like, while this premise, I think, could work in almost any country, I think the way, the situations, the way they talk to each other, the amount of cursing, the amount of partying that these kids do, like, it is so
also,
British.
The fact that none of the main characters shoot a gun.
That's true. Yeah, like, Nathan has a water gun.
Yeah, but that's so British, where they're like, they don't need guns to insert drama.
Yeah.
Like, Americans would be like, okay, we need to know he's a bad guy. Give him a gun.
Yeah.
Or, like, the good guy has to win. Give him a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then, meanwhile, in England, they're like, nah, you can do drama a lot of different ways.
It's true.
Like, using a gun as the end-all be-all doesn't make it creative.
Yeah. This show reminds me a lot of Skins, and that it's, like, really good teenage characters, but it does remind me of Being Human, and that it's got that heavy supernatural element to it.
Yeah.
So.
Do you think another country could make this show? Like, to do a remake?
I think it could be done.
There has been an American remake in the works for a while now. It started, I want to say, 3 years ago, and then it got shelved.
Yeah.
But apparently now, I haven't heard anything about it in almost a year, which is worrisome.
Yeah.
But it's fully cast. I know that.
Oh.
There are a bunch of not terribly famous people. The guy who will be playing Nathan is Bobby Cannavale's son.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. And the guy who would be playing Simon was on the TV show Hung and a couple other shows. But, like, the cast looks okay.
Okay.
I just don't know about it. Like, I'm worried from the start.
Yeah,
this is a show.
The best part of Misfits is that, like, they just go there, you know, every episode. And
I don't think we can go there in American shows unless you get it on, like, an HBO or a Showtime.
It's also, like, we have a lot of American shows. Like, we've had Heroes. And I feel like everybody would be comparing it to either Heroes or Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
Whereas,
but then now,
like,
we also have
Misfits,
like,
is so good because Misfits is like if you took X-Men and just ran it through a British TV filter.
Yeah.
And made it British. So, yeah.
Because, like, the American version, we have The Runaways right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Let's just keep The Runaways and don't ruin something else that's already perfect.
I mean, yeah. If you like Being Human and you watched the Being Human US show, I think it's only... I think it's a good glimpse into what the Misfits American remake could look like.
Same with Skins.
Not nearly as good. Yeah, same as Skins.
It'll be like, they will almost do a shot-for-shot remake of the pilot, and the entire time you'll be like, I could be watching a show I like instead. Yeah.
Well, I think that's Misfits. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
I mean, I want to talk about this for hours, but I know we're running long.
Yeah, this is already one of our longer episodes.
Please check out the show. It's one of my all-time favorites. Like, honestly, if you've listened to all of this and you haven't watched it yet, sorry for spoiling things, but also I'm not, because it's so good it won't ruin it.
Like, it's so good.
Seriously, watch the show. It's still on Hulu.
It is definitely one of my favorite British shows, too.
It is a show, like you mentioned earlier, you stop watching about halfway through season 3.
Yeah.
It's a show, whenever you feel like you're done with it, that's fine.
That's true.
Like,
You can have a lot of fun just with the first season.
Yeah. Or at the end of the second season. I think the first two seasons are perfect.
Yeah.
The third season is great. And the fourth and fifth season are very different.
Yeah.
Because they stop being about superpowers and then it's not as fun. But I think it's a great show. And,
it's amazing.
It's amazing.
Cool. I'm glad we covered it. I love it. So, are you ready for your British word that you have to guess?
I mean, I'm pretty tired from all this talking.
Me too. Every episode, I like to give you a British word to guess.
Yeah.
So this week's word has been submitted by a listener who is also a friend of mine.
Oh, nice.
Rachel Norton, submitted a word to me and said, hey, I don't know. Well, I forget what she said, but, and I said, I didn't know this one. I'm going to ask Sheldon. So I'm going to ask you now.
Thank you, Rachel.
Do you know what a moggy is?
A moggy?
Yeah. M-O-G-G-Y.
Oh, I didn't think it was spelled like that.
Moggy.
All right. So whenever I think of that, I think it's probably like a beloved cartoon character in England. Like he's a caveman or something in a modern world. His name is Moggy the Caveman.
Moggy the Caveman?
Yeah.
Mm.
Is there an American show with a caveman named Muzzy?
I don't know.
Maybe. I think it's Moggy. He's a beloved cartoon caveman. Okay. Moggy.
Well, that's incorrect.
Rachel, tell me.
Moggy is British slang for cat.
What? Yeah. Wait, where did that come from?
I don't know, but we've got a couple of Moggies running around this apartment right now, eating food while we're recording.
Oh my god, they're so obnoxious tonight.
Meowing and running.
It's midnight, go to bed.
Go to sleep, Moggies!
Oh, Jonesy did not like that.
Is Moggy like a slur?
That's what I'm wondering. Does it mean cat?
She sent me a picture, and it says, Moggy, noun, cat.
She didn't have to send you a picture.
No, there's a picture of a cat. And it's from hashtag...
She sent a picture of three words.
No!
I know, but you built it up it was going to give us the definition, and it did not.
She shared a post from a British company called London Calling Pasty Company, or Pasty Company.
Yeah, those are different things.
Sorry, Pasty. And it says, share a photo of your favorite Moggy in the comments below. And there's a picture of a cat that says, hashtag Britchinary.
Oh.
Yeah.
We gotta figure out what's in this Britchinary.
I know. But yeah, you
didn't... A little Moggy.
You didn't guess the word.
Once again, I know more than you about British words. You keep thinking you've got all these fancy pictures with the words on them.
Right. I'm going to sleep now.
But I know about the caveman.
That's not a thing.
Somebody draw Danny the caveman, because everyone knows what he looks like. He's wearing a little, like, orange spotted robe, and he's got a scrunchy fair beard. I need to go to bed, too.
Me too.
I combined
so
face and hair into fair. He's got a scrunchy fair.
Okay, well, this has been Misfits. We covered a lot. We still didn't cover a lot of what happens on that show. But so maybe good. We'll do, a Misfits 2 sometime and just kind of revisit it. Yeah, I think it's really good. Thank you for listening, anyone who did. Please give us a review on iTunes if you could. A rating would be great. Thank you again for joining us. Keep calm and save me, Barry!